up with me again. I would like to say one thing. Playing piano for me is rough. If you don't believe me, ask Miss Carolyn. So I appreciate Miss Peggy filling in, because I'm not easy to follow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Good morning once again, and welcome to the service. We are glad that you are here today. Would you please stand with me as we read from the scripture together this morning, if you would? I invite your attention to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We're going to read together. Follow along with me, if you would, please. We'll begin to read in verse number 13. If you need a copy of the Word of God, there should be one under the chair in front of you. Feel free to use that. We just ask that you might return that for the next person next week. All right, let's read together. If you would please follow along as I read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning in verse number 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain in your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, I pray, dear God, that you would speak through me, that the Holy Spirit would set me aside, Lord, that we would hear his words today from the scripture, Lord, that we might be convicted, dear God, of things in our life that do not belong. Lord, if there are people in the sound of my voice this morning who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that they might call upon him today in just simple childlike faith and receive him in fullness of salvation. Dear God, that for the rest of us who know you as our Lord and Savior, dear God, that we would be drawn in a closer relationship to you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you so very much. Be seated, if you would, please. Please excuse the fact that I have something to soothe my throat this morning. I know that that's not cool, right? But when your throat hurts, you'll try anything. We're glad you're here today. The title of my message today is Service is a Choice. Last week, we preached the Word of God concerning the idea that destiny is a choice. I told you last week that the Lord doesn't force anybody to go to heaven. Salvation is a choice. It is a choice that you make as an individual. Nobody will be in heaven because somebody forced them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Salvation is a free will choice. You are a free moral agent this morning, willing or rather able to decide or not to decide whether you will become a child of God. And so understand today that salvation is a choice. You can reject Jesus. Well, the reality is, as a believer, you can choose or reject the Lord in service. Look with me, if you will, once again there in verse number 13. He said, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments." What is that? That is obedience. That is an act of obedience on your part to yield to the Lord God. And he goes on to say, "Which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." I want to take you back to the word if. If. That means that you can make the choice. You can choose to serve the Lord as a believer, or you can simply choose not to. But as we see from the scripture, God has certain promises in his word that if we will do those things, if we will be obedient, if we will follow the Lord, if we will serve him with all of our heart and all of our soul, that he will guarantee certain things in our life. Let's look at it again. "That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season." God promises in his word to the children of Israel through Moses, as he is writing here in the book of Deuteronomy. He is reviewing for the nation of Israel the blessings of Almighty God. As he closes out this great book of the book of Deuteronomy, he will lay aside the staff. God will call him home. And so he is reviewing for the children of Israel the things, the great and wonderful things that Almighty God has done. And so it is good for us to be reminded from time to time that the Lord has saved us to keep us from an eternal hell or torment. But he also has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is that he might work through you, he might work through myself, that we might influence others for the cause of Christ, that we might draw others to the Lord, that we might challenge others to be willing servants of him. And so as we look at this morning, we see that there are certain promises to those who are obedient and who make the right choice and choose to serve the Lord. He says there, I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. What does that mean? At just the right time, the farmer goes into the field, he plants the seed, God is going to water it. He is going to do it in due season. That is his promise to the children of Israel. He goes on to say, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn. What is that? That is sustenance. Thy wine, in the scripture many times, that is the evidence of joy. And then he also says, thine oil. What is that? That's healing. God is promising that he is going to sustain the nation of Israel. He is going to feed them. He is going to send the rain at the right time so that it waters the crops, so it brings the crop to fruition. He is promising physical sustenance. He is promising joy in the camp of Israel. He is promising healing for his people. There is so much involved in the promises of Almighty God. And the reality is we can choose to serve him, we can choose to follow him, or we can totally reject what it is that the Lord wants to do in our life. Notice what else he says. Not only is he going to send sustenance, not only is he going to send joy, not only is he going to send healing, but he says in verse number 15, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Not only is God going to take care of the children of Israel, he is going to take care of their livestock. He is going to send the rain to grow the grass so that the animals, the livestock that belong to the children of Israel can thrive. What a blessing. God wants to bless his people, but we have to understand his blessings are conditional. And one of the conditions is obedience. Another is service. God wants us to serve him. Now, with this also comes a warning. Look there in verse number 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, that you turn aside and serve other gods, notice the small g, and worship them. God does not want us worshiping false gods. That is unthinkable, that the children of Israel, after all that the Lord has done for them, would turn aside, would turn away from the Lord, and would serve or live for false gods. But the reality is that not only did the children of Israel turn away from God, but believers today, all the time, turn away from the blessings of the Lord. Verse 17 says, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Much of the West, even today, is on fire, all because God has withheld the rain. God has withheld the rain in the field. God has withheld the blessings in the West. Why? Because God's people have turned away and they've said, Lord, we want to do our own thing. We want to have our own way. We want to do things our way. Let me help you to see some things. I want to show you some supporting scriptures. Go, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 2, if you would please, in the scripture. Psalms chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Notice what the psalmist says here in verse number 11. The psalmist is writing and he says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Does that mean that God wants us to walk around in constant fear? No, that's not what God is saying. God is saying he wants us to hold him in awe and respect because he is an awesome God. He is the ruler of the earth. God wants our love. God wants our respect. And the psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Verse 12, "Kiss the Son." Notice the capital S. It's not S-U-N, it's S-O-N. That's not a mistake. Kiss the Son. Who is the Son? His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the Messiah of Israel. He is the God of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. We don't want judgment. We don't want God to come against us in judgment. In the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord told us that we could not serve two masters. We'll either hold the one and we'll hate the other, or vice versa. We cannot serve two masters. The reality today is, child of God, you will either serve Jesus today or you will serve yourself. You cannot serve two masters. John 12:26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. And if any man serve me, him," the Lord promises, "that he will honor you." If we want to be honored today, we must serve the Lord. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like for us to consider two Old Testament believers this morning. And I would like to show you the comparison between these two Old Testament believers. The first one is a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob, he is a twin son of Isaac. He is a believer. Jacob is probably the very worst example of a believer that you'll ever find in the scripture. The Bible says that his name meant supplanter. Jacob was a conniver. Jacob had a sense that the whole world revolved around him. You've probably met people like that in your life. It's all about them. They don't care for other people. They will scratch, they will claw, they will do anything they can to get to the top. And they will keep you as best they can from reaching that same position. They are contemptible people. Yet he is a believer. The Bible says that he was. What did he do? He connived with his mother to scheme against his father, lied to his father so that he might receive the blessing. And the reality is, God would have given it to him anyway, but he had to get in the middle of things. He just could not leave well enough alone. Jacob was a conniver. He was a schemer. He did everything he could to outsmart, outwit everybody that he could. He lied to his father. He cheated his twin brother out of the birthright. And lo and behold, it seemed like a good idea at the time, until Esau found out what had happened. So now Esau is going to get even with Jacob. Do you think for one moment that Jacob's mother would have did what she did if she knew what was coming? She had to send her beloved boy off to relatives in the old country because Esau wanted his head. She never saw her son alive again. She would die before he would return to the homeland. Oh, the things that we put in motion sometimes. When we attempt to scheme, when we attempt to connive, when we attempt to serve ourselves rather than serving the Lord, that was Jacob. If his life could be summed up in one sentence, I believe it could be summed up this way. Jacob served himself. He was an awful believer. Do not pattern your life after this man. He is not an example that you want to follow. He gets over there into the old homeland. He comes upon his relatives, Uncle Laban. He gets involved with Uncle Laban. Uncle Laban is Jacob on steroids. That sorry puke got exactly what he deserved. God sent him to just the right relative because now it's payback time. You know the story. He works for 7 years for Rachel. The wedding comes. He marries what he thinks is Rachel. They consummate the marriage. The veil is still on her head. In the morning, he raises up the veil, and behold, it is not Rachel at all. It is Leah. Oh, how your chickens come home to roost. So now he's whining and crying, and now he's got to work another 7 years for his beloved Rachel. Years of hard labor. He would be away from dad and from mom for 20 years as he labors for Uncle Laban. He attempts to outwit his uncle. Goes to elaborate efforts to do that. And then when his uncle figures out what he's done, he comes after him. So here he is again. He's on the run. This time he's not running away from Israel. Now he's running towards Israel. Now he's on the run again. Constantly on the run. Time after time after time after time after time. Because his thinking was, I'm all about me. Life is all about me and mine. I'm going to have things my way. And the Lord says, okay. Okay. Let's see how it works out. Maybe you've been there in your life. Maybe you've strayed from the Lord. Maybe you've gotten out on your own and you've been doing your own thing. You've been accumulating your own wealth. And God takes it away. Something happens. You find yourself at the bottom. You find yourself crying out to the Lord. And he knows that the moment he sets foot in Israel, sooner or later he is going to have to face Esau. It is inevitable. It is going to happen. Sure enough, God sets up the circumstance. Here comes Esau with his band of warriors. Here is Jacob. He is shaking in his boots. He just knows this is the end of his life. And God shows him mercy. Aren't you glad that we serve a merciful God? Amen. Even when we mess up, even when we do things that we ought not to do, and here he is over and over and over again, God gives him two wives, two concubines, 12 sons, and a daughter. 10 of those sons are reprobates. They are absolutely terrible. They embarrass him. They do unthinkable and unmentionable things that bring heartache to Jacob. Jacob, how's it working out serving yourself? Jacob, what do you think now? Your children are an embarrassment to you. They bring nothing but grief. 10 of them conspire to take the second from the youngest and sell him off. Letting Dad think that something has happened to Joseph. And for over 20 years, Jacob thinks that his son is dead. What do you think now, Jacob? How's it feel now, Jacob, living for yourself? How's it feel about pulling the wool on your father's eyes, on your uncle's eyes, doing every evil and imaginable thing, living for yourself? How's it feel, Jacob? You know the story. Joseph, God had carried him away as a slave to Egypt. By the way, the person in contrast is Joseph. What kind of person is Joseph? Joseph is an honorable man. Joseph is forthright in his character. He is impeccable in his life. How in the world did Jacob ever get so fortunate to have such a wonderful child? Do you ever marvel at that sometimes? Do you ever look at the world sometimes and look at the way that people live, and every once in a while there's a jewel? Every once in a while, that out of chaos comes a remarkable individual. It makes no sense. It's the grace of God. It's the goodness of Almighty God. Jacob's other sons are deceivers just like him. And Jacob is crying in his old age, and he says, "Why has all this come upon me?" Well, get a clue, Jacob. You're reaping, buddy. Get a clue. You brought it on yourself. I mean, he's whining and he's crying. All these things have come upon him. All this suffering, all this anguish, all this pain. But yet there was no thought for God at all before. It was all about Jacob. What Jacob could get, what he could attain, all that stuff that he could have. And he cares not about anybody else. And now it's all come home to roost. Now, let me be clear. Just because we live for God, just because we choose to do the right things, just because we choose to serve the Lord, is no guarantee that things are going to go right all the time. It's not. It is not. There's going to be times as a believer, you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live your life according to the Scripture. You're trying to be the godly example that God wants you to be. And there's times that people won't get you. They will not understand you. And that's just exactly where Joseph was. Joseph was a young boy. He has a dream. God shows him a vision of the future. God shows him that one day his parents and his sibling will bow down before him. He's about 17 years of age. Not the brightest pencil in the box. And he begins to boast and to brag to his brethren about his dream. They were not excited. Not a bit. They wanted to do him harm, and they did. Let's show this dreamer a lesson. So they throw him in a pit, and they sell him as a slave. What was it, 20 pieces of silver? You ought to do a study sometime on the similarities between Joseph and Jesus. It will astound you, the similarities between these two. So here he gets carried off to Egypt. He's sold again. He winds up in Potiphar's house. I mean, he's got a mind like you can't believe. God blesses this boy. I mean, there's nothing, he just, finance is his thing. God blesses him. God multiplies him. He's in Potiphar's house. And he is enriching Potiphar. Potiphar gives him control of the entire house. And then comes Potiphar's wife. Joseph is a good-looking young man. A lot like your pastor. Thank you for laughing. I mean, he's a hunk. He's a hunk of a young Jewish boy. And Potiphar's wife entices him and says, come and lay with me. And he says, how can I do this evil against my master and against God? But that's not enough. Day after day after day after day, she pursues him. And he rejects and he rejects and he rejects and he rejects and he rejects. And finally, one day, she sends everybody out of the house. She thinks she's going to get this young man in bed. And Joseph turns and he leaves. He maintains his credibility, his integrity, because what matters to him more than anything is serving his God. He is beyond reproach. So she comes up with a plan. She accuses him of rape. He's thrown in prison. And nowhere in the scenario do you see that Joseph is whining or crying. But what you do see that he's being a servant right where he is. And let me just say something. We might not always serve God just exactly where we want to. But if you'll serve God faithfully right where he puts you, he will bring incredible things to pass that you can't even comprehend. Because he is a great and wonderful God. And he will be a debtor to no man. Be faithful. Serve with integrity. Serve the Lord God. Time goes on. There's a couple of prisoners that have dreams. And because Joseph is an interpreter of dreams, he tells them the outcome. One is good, one's not so good, and it comes to pass. And the one that had a good outcome, Joseph says, when you go to the king, tell him about me. So sure enough, he goes before the king. He's freed. He's promoted. And he forgets all about Joseph. Once again, Joseph is hurting. Once again, Joseph is struggling. But he's still faithful. He's still faithful. Until one day, several years later, the king has a dream and he's troubled. And nobody can interpret the dream. And all of a sudden, the servant remembers. There's a guy back there in the dungeon. He can interpret your dream. And so the king says, go get him. And they bring in Joseph. But before he comes in, he cleans up because he's coming into the presence of the king. He stands before the king and he interprets the dream. And oh, what a dream it is. This young man who didn't make life about himself, but he made his life about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Joseph says, King, if you'll do this, this, and this, everything will be fine. There's coming 7 years of plenty. If you'll take 20% of that grain and you'll store it aside, when the famine comes 7 years later, there will be plenty in Egypt. And all the countries of the world will come to you to buy grain and food. And you'll be rich. And the king says, I need this guy running the program. And here Joseph is exalted. He's the prime minister. And there's a great famine. You know the story. Over in Israel, they hear that there's corn in Egypt. And they talk Dad into sending an entourage. And here they come. They're going to buy corn. And Joseph sees them and he recognizes them and he says, I'm going to have a little fun. It's payback time. Benjamin's not there. And that bothers Joseph because Benjamin is the youngest. He knows what his brothers have done to him and he's concerned that they may have done the same thing to Benjamin. So he inquires about Benjamin. You know the story. This great man of God, this servant of the Lord, serving in a hard place, serving in a foreign land. He's not in Israel. He's in Egypt. And sometimes God asks us to do difficult things in Egypt. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're all in Egypt. And God's got a job for us to do, and he wants us to serve him faithfully. Are you serving him today? Are you living for him? Are you putting him first in your life? Is God your top priority? Or is your top priority self? And you're going to wind up like Jacob, losing so much. Do you know that it took Joseph to his dying breath to get it right? And he finally did. Don't be like Jacob. Don't live for yourself. Live for God. Serve him. Serve him. Wherever he opens a door. Serve God in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Man, that's like being in Egypt. Yeah. Yes, it is. We had the privilege to go to Romania and minister. We had the privilege to go to Athens and to minister. And you know what we found out? That no matter where you go in the world, there is need. And the biggest need is Jesus. This world needs Jesus. So whatever Egypt God calls you to, serve him with distinction. Serve him with honor. Live for him, not for yourself. God took Joseph, the jewel of the family, the one bright spot amongst those 12 boys. And God used him in a mighty way to save a nation. God couldn't use Jacob to do that, because with Jacob, it was all about Jacob. And when Joseph has his fun, he sends everybody out of the room and he reveals himself to his brothers. I am Joseph. What thoughts do you think were going through their mind at that moment? It was not good. We're going to the gallows. And when they expected judgment, they got mercy. We all deserve judgment, but God gives us mercy. We'd be foolish not to accept it. It would be unthinkable to think that those boys, as they sat out there, would say, "We reject your mercy. We reject your grace." How foolish. How foolish. They embraced Joseph. His vision came true. His vision came true. I challenge you to serve the Lord today. I challenge you to be a Joseph. I challenge you not to live for yourself. Moses penned those words that we read earlier as he was closing out his life. And now we have another reminder. We see it here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua is coming to the end of his days. He has served the Lord faithfully, and he has a message for the people before God takes him home. And he reminds them of something. He says here in verse number 14 of the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, "Now therefore fear the Lord with, and serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Folks, serving Jesus is a choice. He's not going to force you. He promises you, if you serve him, he will bless you. He promises you that if you serve him, he will reward you. If not in this lifetime, in heaven, we will be rewarded beyond measure. My Bible says that you can't give a cup of cold water in the Lord's name and lose your reward. Sometimes even the simple things, maybe just a kind smile, just to let people know that God loves them, God cares about you. And let me tell you something this morning. No matter who you are in this room, God loves you. He loves you. And he will forgive you of your sins. He will take you to heaven if you'll just simply call upon him in faith, acknowledging that you're a sinner, lost and undone, believing that he is able to save you, and just simply to come to him in a simple confession of faith. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sins, and I know you'll take me to heaven if I just ask and simply invite him into your heart to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul and to take you to heaven when you die. He will save you. He will take you to heaven. But he also requires that you live for him and that you serve him. But my friend, that is a choice. You can live with or without God's blessing in your life. You can choose to go the way of Jacob. You can have trouble in your life every day, just like Jacob did. Or you can choose, as Joseph did, to rise above your circumstances in the spite of everything and serve the Lord and wait patiently for him to change your situation. Father, help us today. Protect our hearts and our attitudes. Oh God, we need to serve you with all of our heart. We need to live for you. We need to surrender our lives totally to you to do your will, not ours. Lord, one day we'll stand in your presence. And I, for one, want to hear the words, "Enter, thou good and faithful servant, into the joys which I have prepared for you." Help us today. God, it's a privilege to serve you. What an awesome privilege. Help us. Help us to surrender. Help us to live for you. Help us to come to this altar today and to just give the rest of our life to you, whatever's left of it, to your honor and glory. Lord, save the lost. We invite the unchurched to come. We invite those who need to make a profession of faith, whatever the need is. Our altar is open and it's available. Spirit of the living God, speak to hearts today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.